From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the November 1st edition of Commodity Week. In Iowa, they're paying overs for corn, and they may very well be short soybeans, too. We'll find out more today on Commodity Week.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I am Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with Ray Jenkins of Cargill Corn Milling out of Eddyville, Iowa. Matt Bennett from Total Grain Marketing out of Windsor, Illinois, and Aaron Curtis of Midco from Bloomington, Illinois, are in studio with us today. And Dan Zwicker is on the other line. He's at CGB Enterprises in Mandeville, Louisiana. We'll call this our Cash Grain Edition. Commodity Week, of course, is a production of Illinois Public Media. You can find us online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com. And by ADM, their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at ADM.com/FarmerView.
Well, let's start our discussion with this one. Aaron Curtis, over the last several years, we've gotten used to overs, even during the harvest season. But I don't know that we're really used to overs at what we consider a low price and a really big harvest at this point. Why is this happening?
Well, it's been a strange year when you look at the cash side anyway, from what historically what we're used to. When you're talking a 14 billion bushel crop and you're talking about basis levels that are posted at overs, and you're looking at the Dease March corn spread traded into 9.75 today. So it's not your typical reaction to what you think when these a large corn crop that continues to grow the way the private estimates are coming out. But a couple things to kind of contribute to that. First of all, you know, we did have a transition year from obviously drought last year to where we went into harvest season with very low supplies, both on the elevator side and also on the producer side. The producer has a lot of empty bins sitting out in the country. Seeing a lot of grain moving into those empty bins. The elevator's got space at this point, so things getting tucked away pretty nicely at this point, for the most part, considering the amount of bushels that we have. And also, farmer just continues to be a reluctant seller. Been rewarded in the past couple years from being patient on selling, and kind of got that mindset again, just going to continue to kind of hold on this. I think financially still in a decent shape here, so doesn't really need a lot of money at this point, and of course doesn't like the futures price. So this lack of cash movement and the fact that we have ample space going into harvest has really got the cash side and spreads and bases trying to do some work here to try to encourage some of this movement. Because, you know, you look at the demand scenario and we're still using, you know, right around a billion bushels a month, so it's got to continue to moving to the pipeline.
Matt Bennett, it's been around for a while, but it seems like an oddity still in this particular time of year.
Yeah, it does. You know, and I can't agree more with what Aaron had to say. I think, you know, the producer seems to be a little bit reluctant. I think guys got a little bit of cash on hand. I think, you know, look at these sort of basis levels. I mean, we were a little bit wider there earlier on in the fall, and then to see the crop grow and to actually tighten these things up a little bit has actually, for me, been fairly surprising. Most of our producers have found it pretty surprising. This crop continues to grow, and, yields that keep coming in. I mean, most of the guys that we deal with and most of the guys that I talk to are saying that they've been pleasantly surprised, or, you know, obviously very pleasantly surprised with corn yields and bean yields. And so, again, like Aaron said, I mean, most of my guys are filling every bin that they have. Most elevators are not putting a whole lot on the ground just yet, although there are reports of some of that. But bottom line was, we were completely empty as a company, and most companies were in the same situation that we were.
Dan, does the grain flow in New Orleans feel low because of this?
Well, there's an active bean program going on in New Orleans. I mean, we've got, 86% of USDA's projection on soybeans has already been sold. So there's a lot of bean movement coming down to try to fill that demand. So we do have a good flow on soybeans. It's getting harder and harder to buy those soybeans. And then China looks to be a very aggressive buyer of soybeans. They may end up buying 30 million tons out of the United States yet before the year's out, and that's going to be about 8 million tons more than they bought from the U.S. last year. So I think the soybean market is going to be awfully strong, and there's going to be a lot of beans move all different directions into China.
Let's take a look at the corn in particular. December contract this week had a high of 427 and a quarter. It's a low, or rather its high was 440. It's low at 425 and three quarters. Its settlement price was at 427 and a quarter, and that was off 12 and three quarters for the week. It was also down 13 and a quarter cents for the month. December of next year at $4.66 and three quarters, 16 cents lower. For the week, and 11.5 cents lower for the month of October. Next week, the United States Department of Agriculture will update its crop production numbers. As a reminder, the last time the crop production report was released was in the month of September. At that point, USDA said there was a 13.84 billion bushel crop with 155.3 bushel to the acre yield for corn. We have some new numbers out that came from Informa today. They're thinking a 14.2 crop at 161.22 bushels to the acre. And F.C. Stone, late in the afternoon, said, well, there's actually a 14.36 billion bushel crop, and that's at 161.2 bushels to the acre. So F.C. Stone and Informa agreeing on the bushels per acre, but apparently not on the harvested number of acres. And F.C. Stone has a fairly large number, Aaron, for... Actually, it's a big number for the size of this crop. That would be a big corn crop.
Yeah, it would. I guess I'm not quite as aggressive on corn yield. I had more of a 158.5, 159 number. Still puts us about a 14 billion bushel crop. But yeah, if realized, something come up to this kind of numbers, obviously that would continue to support the kind of the prevailing trend in corn futures. And also you can put some of that straight back into ending stocks here, and that gets you up to about 1.95 to 2.0 billion bushels, which obviously doesn't support any long-term rallies at this point.
And Matt Bennett, it is the ending stocks or what's left over at the end of the marketing year that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. And, again, I'd probably agree with a lot of what Aaron has to say. I think the thing that maybe I would say is I'm just going to flat out say I was wrong about the size of this crop earlier. I really didn't think that we had this big of a crop. From the producer standpoint, we've harvested some corn that, to be perfectly honest, amazed at what the hybrids have been able to do. And so, I know that this late season weather pattern had a lot of us thinking, especially with the spring stress, that we wouldn't be able to have these sort of yields. But I'm probably pushing more along the maybe a little higher than Aaron, maybe on that 160 and a 14 plus. And I think the reason for it is there's just so many yield reports that we have coming from guys that are harvesting, 50 and 60 bushel better than their all-time best yield. And, there's just a lot of that going on. And I think that this crop size is going to grow quite a bit more than I ever thought it would.
Dan, you outlined a lot about the soybean export picture. Would the corn export picture, which has been strong for the beginning of the marketing year, could it manage to maintain a good portion of that for the coming months?
I think their USDA's number of 1225 or something like that, I think that's about 300 million bushels too low. So I think we're going to see corn exports before it's all over with up around 1.5, that same way on soybeans. So I think everybody's underestimating export demand. One thing that I think the yield, there's no doubt. Actually, the information that I've received from farmers and in our primary buying area, which we have a large position in the eastern Corn Belt, kind of think maybe that corn yield could go to 163 yet before it's over with. Actually 161 kind of looks low to me, from what I've heard. But, once USDA gets done with everybody and puts the, harvested acres of corn down around 86 and 74 on the soybeans, that'll jerk a few strings, I think, next Friday.
What are you using for numbers for both harvested acreage, total production, and then ending stocks?
Well, if you use harvested acres around 86, and just let's multiply this 1.61 that everybody wants to use, that comes in about 13.8, 13.9. So the crop still stays at 14 billion-ish.
Yeah, but you're more at 14.4. Is that right?
No, not if I use a harvested acres at 86.
I was using 163, not 161.
Oh, well, yeah, if you use 163. So it all equals out, but
okay.
Maybe USDA may not go to 163, but I think the trade's in for a big shock on harvested acres. I think they're going to be way low on that. Now, whether or not USDA puts that in the November report and wait until they kind of take a grain stock survey and then try to extrapolate out what kind of demand we use this quarter, and then they maybe readjust again in January. But I don't think the acres are there that everybody's counting on. So I'm one that thinks that maybe the crop sizes or production number may not be quite as large as what everybody's working. And then, of course, I'm more bullish on demand than a lot of people. I think corn demand will easily go 1.5, and that eats up a lot of bushels. I mean, you take a couple months ago, people were laughing at 12.25. I think there's more and more people that kind of feel that, well, that one's going to be hit, that we're crawling toward that. And I think four sower width will be at 1.5. So that's why I think the balance sheets and these carryover numbers that a lot of people are talking about just ain't really going to be there. I mean, I'll bet you we've already ground a billion bushels of this new crop corn already because we started grinding it in August. And if you look at the numbers of the weekly grind, I mean, we've already disappeared a billion bushels, and I think that's one of the reasons why the basis levels are staying strong. We've got good demand underneath the market, and I think it's also signaling that the crop ain't as big as what everybody thinks it is. I know the yields are good, but I don't think there's as many acres out there as what they think they are.
Okay, so let's say with the 161 and the 14 billion on the size of the crop, right? Where are you on carryout?
Oh, I think you got to get carry out down. It's still going to be plenty adequate. Let's put it that way. But I would be more inclined to think 1.6 to 1.8, but that's going to be a while before USA comes that way to me.
Okay. All right. So now let's start, Matt, with you, and then Dan, and then Aaron. Should a producer that has on storage in his on the farm, should he open that bin door up and sell because of the overs, or does he wait it out? Matt?
Well, I think obviously it depends on each person's individual situation. I wouldn't do all of one thing or another because I would like to at least be partially right, of course. But my gut feeling here is that if this crop continues to get bigger, I mean, I hope Dan's correct. I would definitely agree with him that harvested acreage is lower than what we've been thinking all along. But if we still bump up closer to that 14 billion, I hope that this demand surfaces. Now, I think that I would want to store a fair amount of corn if I was willing to be very patient. And here's why. I think when you look forward, I think that our export program is going to be good for some time to come, because whenever I look at what's going on in South America with Argentina and Brazil making a large commitment to soybeans over corn, it makes me think that their export program isn't going to be near as strong as what we've had, and ours is going to be, you know, obviously in the world game again. We've been able to get down to some levels where people are able to buy our product at a competitive price. So You know, I think if a guy's going to be very patient, then I would go ahead and store, you know, a fair amount of corn.
Dan?
I'm not one for storing. A lot of it probably depends upon when you need the cash. Most guys are going to need the cash before they go to the field, and I think the market is still kind of grinding lower. We're not making new lows by any, you know, big waves here, but we're down here at our yearly lows or calendar year lows. I think we're going to have to turn sideways somewhere in here, and farmer movement is going to keep it on the defensive. So I think the guy needs to take advantage of some of these basis levels and move inventory.
And
I'm going to trend more with Dan here and say I think you got to kind of keep rewarding the cash situations, telling you to move it, and if you want to re-own it with some calls, do that.
You, of course, are listening to Commodity Week. This is the November 1st edition. We have Aaron Curtis and Dan Zwicker and Matt Bennett with us. When we come back, we'll talk with Ray Jenkins. He's in Eddyville, Iowa, at Cargill.